Good morning and welcome to the East Tennessee Report, a public affairs program of the Journal Broadcast Group. My name is Frank Murphy. This morning we are delighted to welcome Special Agent Kenneth Moore, the new Special Agent in charge of the Knoxville Field Office of the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Good morning, Mr. Moore.
Good morning. Thank you, Frank, for inviting me to be a part of the program this morning.
Happy to have you. Welcome to Knoxville, first of all.
Thank you very much. I've been here now for about 6 weeks, and I must say it's a beautiful community. And I'm just excited and happy to be here in Knoxville.
Your second tour in Tennessee with the FBI.
That's correct. From 2000 to 2005, I served as the supervisory senior resident agent of our office in Jackson, Tennessee.
And then most recently before Knoxville was?
Actually, my last assignment was at FBI headquarters as an inspector, as the chief inspector for the FBI. Prior to that,
all right, what does that mean, chief inspector for the FBI?
Well, within the FBI, we have our inspection division, and there are three components to the inspection division. One deals with external audits, such as with the inspector general. The second component deals with our internal investigations, and then the Office of Inspections is responsible for conducting field office inspections and other specials and shooting incident reviews that occur.
Okay, so you're like the drill sergeant who would show up and...
Just as a drill sergeant is a sight that most don't want to see, inspection division had the same type of reputation
That's
as well.
That's kind of what I had in mind.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Exactly.
Or like when the health department shows up at the restaurant. You know?
With the white glove on.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, we are delighted to have you in Knoxville. And tell me now, what does it mean to be a special agent in charge?
Actually, I'm humbled by the opportunity to serve as the special agent in charge here in Knoxville. It means that I'm responsible for all of the day-to-day operations for our field office in Knoxville. Our field office here also includes resident agencies, which are smaller satellite offices in Chattanooga, Tullahoma, Oak Ridge, and also Johnson City.
I had the privilege of going through the FBI Citizens Academy about 2 years ago, and I just was impressed with first of all, that Knoxville has a field office, because if you were just to guess and you didn't know anything about the history of the area, you would probably assume that the field office for the state of Tennessee would be in the capital of Nashville.
Right.
But in fact, it's over here, closer to TVA and closer to ORNL and closer to all those things.
Well, actually, Tennessee is a little different because we actually have two FBI field offices in the state of Tennessee. Knoxville is responsible for eastern Tennessee. And then the Memphis division is responsible for Middle Tennessee and the Western District of Tennessee as well.
Mm-hmm. So you've covered both the whole state then, really, in a way.
I think you're right.
All right. So when we talk about the FBI, the type of stuff that you have to deal with, what's the difference between a federal crime and something that the TBI would cover or something that the Knoxville Police or the Knox County or Sevier County would have to deal with?
Well, at the most fundamental level, when you talk about federal violations, they are violations that also have an interstate nexus to them, meaning that the interstate is being used in some way or another, not just the physical interstate, but that communications are traveling from state to state. Mm-hmm. The TBI has responsibility specifically for the state of Tennessee, and a local department such as the Knoxville Police Department only has jurisdiction within the city of Knoxville. On the federal level, as an FBI agent, we have jurisdiction throughout the United States, and we have some jurisdiction abroad as well.
Well, I've seen in many of the press releases from the FBI that you'll often say in cooperation with the Knoxville Police Department,
so and so
was arrested for solicitation of a minor or for child porn or some other scam they were trying to run.
Yes, and that's accurate in that one of the things we try to do is to ensure that we cooperate and work very well with our local, state, and other federal partners as well. None of us really have the resources that we need to do the job alone. So it's very important for us to work with each other, to share assets, et cetera, in order to protect and serve our communities.
We're talking with Kenneth Moore, the new special agent in charge of the Knoxville Field Office of the FBI. And as you've made your welcome tour of East Tennessee and gotten to meet with the various police chiefs and sheriffs in our area, what's the thing that they're focused on, the thing they want your attention drawn to as you spend time in our area?
That's a very good question. I've been here, as I said, for about 6 weeks, and I've had a chance to travel extensively now throughout eastern Tennessee and meet with the various chiefs of police and with the sheriffs as well. And to a person that I've met with, each one of them has cited the issue of prescription pills mm-hmm. as the biggest issue confronting their department.
We had KPD Chief Roush on this very same program about a month or two ago, and he identified that as well. And he was very passionate about it, too.
And he and I have talked about that as well. And I must admit, coming from Washington, D.C., and from my prior assignment in Charlotte, I had no idea of the epidemic, if you will, of prescription pills as it relates to this area.
I saw a documentary, I think I interviewed this guy too, who made the documentary, about a crazy crime family. In this particular instance was West Virginia, Kentucky. And talk about interstate lines. They would get their prescriptions filled in West Virginia and then drive across to Kentucky and get the same prescription filled again by a different pharmacy. And somehow by doing it across state lines, they were able to, I don't know if kiting is the word, but somehow keep the one step ahead of being discovered.
You're absolutely right about that. And that's one of the things I want to work on with the local partners here as well, to see what kind of an impact we can make in that area. Because it's from my understanding and talking with the chiefs and the sheriffs, the issue has even supplanted cocaine and meth in terms of being a crime problem in this area.
Right, because we were all about meth in this area for many years, and we've seen the meth task force parked in front of, you know, the superstores in our area where you've got to show your ID to get cold medicine nowadays.
Right.
It's changed just this past week. There was a local resident who got hit over the head in a home invasion type robbery, and what did they take? Her pain pills.
Exactly. In fact, recently we actually had an individual who was convicted of several robberies at CVS drugstores. Armed robberies where he and others would jump the counter, very much like you would have in a bank robbery, to steal prescription pills. Hmm. This individual is actually sentenced to 121 years in prison, and we hope that that sends the message to others out there as well.
What is it in that type of robbery that would maybe make it a federal offense? Would it be the use of a firearm, or would it
yes.
be... Okay,
yes.
That's enough right there.
Yes.
Talking with Agent Kenneth Moore from the FBI about the issues that we're facing here in East Tennessee. But let me also delve into your past a little bit. You've had a fascinating career.
Yes, I have.
With the FBI. How many years?
Almost 25 years. As
wow.
I often say, as I've told you before, 25 wonderful, incredible, spectacular years.
That's crazy. That's great.
And I've enjoyed every day.
And then I guess I've been in radio that long, too. So so I do understand. What were some of the earlier stages and earlier assignments for you, Kenneth Moore?
Well, I started almost 25 years ago, and my first office of assignment was Little Rock, Arkansas. One of the cases that stands out from that period in my career was a child abduction that took place. A young baby was kidnapped from the hospital, actually from the mother's arms, at 2 days of age.
Ah.
And we worked around the clock for about 2.5 weeks. And that story had a happy ending in that we were able to recover the child unharmed safely.
Yep.
And in addition to that, there were numerous security protocols that were changed as a result of that as well to try to prevent that from happening again.
And those protocols have taken place
Absolutely.
All over the country.
All over the country.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that that was the only case that led to that, but that
sure.
case was instrumental in a lot of the changes that took place at that time.
Amazing. And then tell me about your time up in Michigan and Detroit.
Well, I spent 5.5 years, or winters as I like to say, in Detroit. Really only 2 seasons there, winter and construction. I worked counterintelligence issues, counterterrorism issues, and then in 1994 I transferred over and started working civil rights investigations, which is still my passion to this day as well.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about civil rights investigations. What are some of the issues that our country as a whole is facing? Because, I mean, obviously advances have been made in the area of civil rights, but then you get a new group of immigrants who come along who then are discriminated against
sure.
because of the language they speak or the country they came from.
Absolutely. Within our civil rights program, the civil rights program is, one, unique in that the FBI is the only federal agency that has investigative jurisdiction for civil rights violations. Those violations could occur within our hate crimes program, which are the traditional discrimination types of cases, our color of law, which is law enforcement misconduct, FACE Act, violence against reproductive health care facilities, and also human trafficking. And right now we're putting a tremendous amount of emphasis in the area of human trafficking as well. And this is where you have individuals who are being held against their will and forced into labor of one type or another. It could be a manual labor, such as working on a migrant farm, or it could be within the sex trade as well, the sex industry as well.
I was surprised at, we had some news coverage about that, probably just before you came to town, about the degree of human trafficking that reaches into the heartland of the country, meaning here in
yes.
Tennessee, because that's something that just by its very definition, you immediately associate with the port cities or the coastal cities or any border city.
When in reality, that particular type of crime can occur anywhere in the United States. In fact, I just left a meeting earlier this week, if you will, with the United States Attorney, where
yeah.
we discussed forming a human trafficking and civil rights working group or task force to address the issue. We recently had a case here in East Tennessee in which 9 individuals were convicted in human trafficking.
Mm-hmm. And are these in this area, we're talking about Latino immigrants,
yes,
mostly?
Yes. The subjects in this particular investigations were Hispanic. However,
in California, a lot of times it's Asians.
That's correct. And in the Midwest, it could be Russian, East European immigrants who are brought into the country specifically for that purpose. But also, it's an area where we're seeing some gang involvement as well.
Really?
On the local level, yes. Because it can be very profitable as well.
Okay, so that's we're probably talking more about the manual labor or sex trade.
Primarily, it's within the sex industry, forced prostitution.
Oh, that's awful.
It is. It is.
And how do you I mean, without giving away any trade secrets, how do you find that crime going on? Because it sounds like it's something that is kept on the down low and it's very secretive.
It is very difficult to identify at times, but that's where the local community and the local law enforcement comes into play. Because the local police departments are really our eyes and ears. They are the ones who are walking the beat, if you will, walking the streets on a daily basis. They are the ones who are very deeply ingrained into the community as well. They see these issues. So what we're trying to do is to educate them in terms of what to look for, what questions you might want to ask when you are arresting someone in the area of prostitution, for example.
Mm-hmm. Sure. We're talking with Kenneth Moore. He's the new special agent in charge for the Knoxville Field Office of the FBI, a 25-year veteran of the Bureau and now promoted to the BMOC, if you will, the big man on campus with that beautiful FBI building that sits above on Dowell Springs looking over Middlebrook Pike.
Yes.
Pretty spiffy, huh?
Beautiful facility.
Yeah.
We're very fortunate to have it.
Now, in the course of your time in the FBI, you've probably seen more advances in terms of technology.
Absolutely.
And in terms of facilities like that. What are a few of the things that have impressed you recently?
Well, actually, one of the things that we're currently involved in within our office, although it's new, we are expanding our emergency operations center so that in the event that we have an emergency, if you will, we have more room for our partners to be in the command post area with us. The technology
is that something that's in the FBI building?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The technology that we have within that room to include smart boards and the various databases will allow us to address very aggressively any violation that we need to. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, it allows our partners to have a working space side by side with our agents as well, whether local police department, sheriff's deputies, or our federal partners as well, which is critical in terms of success.
Because obviously there are some events that happen here on a regular basis where massive crowds come into Knoxville specifically. Obviously, anytime there's a football game.
Yes.
You've got Boomsday coming up on Labor Day weekend, and I hope that you'll join us for Boomsday.
I'm looking forward to that. I've heard a lot about it.
I got VIP passes, so hang with me is what I'm saying.
Okay. Sounds like you're the person I need to know.
Yeah, if you want a good place to watch, I got you covered. But those are obviously situations where not only the FBI, but local law enforcement has to be particularly on guard, and not without raising the level from orange to yellow to red. It's something where you sort of have to think, well, this could be a potential target.
Absolutely.
So we're not going to let it be a target.
Absolutely. And when you talk about any event where you have a very large crowd of people assimilating, it does present a perfect opportunity or a target for an individual who might want to commit an act of terrorism. And so before those events occur, we actually have pre-planning meetings where we discuss the security strategy for that event,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a UT football game or any of the other events that you've mentioned.
Yeah. And I suppose you've had similar events at every other city you've been to. I mean, the other cities you've worked in have huge events like this, too.
Yes. In my last assignment, when I was assigned to the Charlotte Division, of course, we had Lowe's Motor Speedway there and Speed Week and all of the activities that are associated with a major NASCAR event.
Yeah. Hey, wait a second. I think your jurisdiction might cover Bristol with the so you might get to go to NASCAR again.
And I've heard a lot about Bristol. I'm looking forward to having a tour of that facility as well.
I know exactly what day you'll be there. Coming up at the end of August. We're talking with Kenneth Moore with the FBI. I have some family friends who have been started to be curious about joining the FBI. They're a couple of years out of college. And I have some relatives who have had successful FBI careers. I have an uncle who served in the Richmond field office for many years and is now retired. His son is working out in San Diego as an agent for the Bureau. What is it that the FBI is looking for someone who's listening right now who's thinking, well, this sounds pretty awesome. You know, it's a great opportunity to get a good job and serve our country at the same time.
And Frank, you're absolutely right. It is the perfect opportunity and the perfect time. to be a special agent with the FBI is an incredible opportunity. We're looking for people, we like to say, the best and the brightest, mm-hmm. regardless of the field. We hire, one of the strengths of our organization is the fact that we hire from a vast array of career fields, doctors, lawyers, accountants, engineers, CPAs, financial planners, police officers, school teachers. We hire from that full array of careers.
Because generally speaking, you don't hire fresh out of college. You wait until there's some experience.
That is correct. Our requirements are that you have to be at least 23 years of age and at least have your undergraduate degree and 3 years of full-time work experience as well.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so if that's probably, if you're 23 and you've got 3 years of work experience, you might have graduated early or?
Well, with,
I guess some overlap.
You can, although you, we say 23, it's very unlikely you would
more
be
likely,
hired at 23.
More likely 25 up.
Actually, later than that. Probably about 28 to 30 would be the average hiring
oh, really?
Age.
Okay.
Because we want the people that we bring on board to have some good life experiences as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, these individuals will have top secret clearances. They will have access to information that, if placed in the hands of the wrong people, could cause incredible damage to our country as well. And so we're looking for people who are very mature, who are self-starters, hard workers, and people with very good interpersonal skills as well.
Now, in addition to being a gun-carrying agent of the FBI, as my uncle was,
yes.
There's these other careers you've talked about, which are the support team, and those the requirements for that are a little different.
They are. Our professional support employees are just as valuable as our agents as well because they are working behind the scenes. For every piece of paper or every document, every piece of evidence that we accumulate, someone else is actually going to handle that to make sure that it's input into our system.
Yeah,
correctly.
When you bring back the evidence, somebody's got to deal with it in the lab.
Exactly.
And we all know that the lab geeks right now are that watch shows like Bones and CSI. That's hot stuff.
Bones is one of my favorite shows, Frank.
Oh,
but
good.
Actually, I would highly encourage anyone who's interested in a career with the FBI to take a look at our website. It's FBIjobs.gov.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's FBIjobs.gov. And a whole host of array of positions from professional support to the agent position as well are advertised there.
Mm-hmm. Any of them in this area or do you get not, you don't get to pick?
Sometimes positions are posted locally, but more than likely it's on the national level.
Okay.
That's one of the things. That's another requirement that we have as an agent. You have to be willing to relocate anywhere within the United States or its territories as well.
And I've seen that with several of the agents who've been in through the Knoxville office that I've gotten to know since my time going through the FBI Citizens Academy. We've got one who's now headed up to headquarters.
Yes.
We've had some who've come in from other parts of the country as well.
That's correct. And you look at my career, for example, Little Rock, Arkansas, Detroit, Michigan, first stint at FBI headquarters, then Jackson, Tennessee, then on to the Charlotte division, back to FBI headquarters as a chief inspector, and now out to Knoxville. But in each one of those assignments, I have really enjoyed the opportunity to serve as an agent.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, and that is a beneficial because if you were in one place your whole life, you're not seeing everything that the criminal mind has to offer, if you pardon the expression.
That's true. We do have some agents who do get the opportunity to spend their whole career in one location, one office. However, if you go into the management ranks of the FBI, the chances of that happening are pretty much slim and none.
All right. So take us back then through that process. If you're that 27-year-old
yes.
who's listening right now and you find something that appeals to you on FBIjobs.gov and you apply for that job, what happens next?
After that process is completed, then those who are most competitive for that position, their applications are forwarded to the advertising entity within the organization. If it's a special agent position, then they're scheduled for the phase one special agent test.
Mm-hmm.
After the phase one test, if they complete that successfully, the next step is phase two. Phase two involves an oral interview by a panel with a 1 hour time limit. Mm-hmm. All of the applicants are asked the exact same questions and given the exact same amount of time to complete that portion of phase two. Following the oral panel interview, then they will have a writing exercise that they have to complete as well. Now, with phase one and phase two, if you are unsuccessful or not as competitive for phase one, then you have to wait at least a year before you can reapply for that test. And you can only take it twice in your life. But once you make it past phase one, the initial test, phase two, the oral interview, and the writing example, Then you start with the background examination, the medical examination, and the physical fitness test as well.
Because physical fitness is a huge part of the FBI career.
It is. And in fact, throughout our career, we encourage people to make sure that they stay physically fit because of the people that we deal with. Some of them spend a lot of time on physical fitness as well.
I've always wondered about the FBI shoes. I mean, they look like dress shoes, but you get to run in them pretty fast. Is there some? Where do you get those?
Frank, there are no special shoes that are assigned.
Oh, see, here I am thinking they've got some sort of special FBI shoe. No?
Not at all.
Not so much. Okay.
No.
Well, all right. I'm disappointed. We're talking with Kenneth Moore, the new special agent in charge of the FBI. And when we think about that training part, a lot of us
yes.
go immediately to the pop culture reference of the movie Silence of the Lambs, which is now a 20-year-old movie. Jodie Foster was going through basic training, I guess is what it's called,
yes.
at Quantico?
Actually, our new agents training course is at Quantico, Virginia. Right now, I think the course is about 21 weeks in length. During that period, you cover everything from an academic standpoint, physical fitness, and firearms as well.
Mm-hmm. And you've got some newer firearms from the olden days, too.
That's true. When I came in almost 25 years ago, we were still issuing revolvers. We no longer carry revolvers. We now use the Glock 40 caliber weapon.
Knoxville Public Library not too long ago had a screening of The FBI Story, which is a movie that's not easily in circulation. You have to look around really to find it. And it's Jimmy Stewart as an FBI agent back in the early days of J. Edgar Hoover and stuff like that. And part of the beauty of it was it starts in the Knoxville field office. Jimmy Stewart is an agent in Knoxville, and he meets some Knoxville librarian, and he marries her, and then he moves on to D.C. And it's the end of the Knoxville portion of the thing. But who knew that?
What a way to start that movie, though.
Yeah, it starts right off like that. The FBI Story. And J. Edgar Hoover plays himself in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was interesting as well.
I think I've seen that once or twice.
Oh, okay. Well, you have to, don't you? Isn't it required?
It's not required, but it's a very popular movie. So,
well, we're talking again with Kenneth Moore about the FBI, and you mentioned that Bones is a favorite show of yours, as it is mine. But there is a certain amount of unrealistic stuff that happens in any of those shows. And let's talk seriously for a moment about the so-called CSI effect. And how it affects the public's perception and jury's perception of what really goes on when you're investigating a case and finding evidence.
And that is an issue that we are seeing more of because of the preponderance of law enforcement type of shows, the Bones, the CSI shows that are on television now. The general public thinks that it's true, and they think that we are able to use those techniques at will also. Although I must say that most of the investigations we conduct don't end within 60 minutes.
Have you, in your career, used the phrase, can you enhance it?
Yes, I have used that phrase.
Oh, okay. Well, then I see that in every show ever. So I thought, now I know. Let me mark that one off. That one's okay. Can you enhance it?
But there are some techniques that you see on TV that are just for television. We don't have that capability. And when you talk about sophisticated techniques, Title IIIs, wiretaps, et cetera, there is a very long process that we have to go through before we get court approval.
Does Title III mean wiretap?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so we have to go through a very stringent approval process and get that approval from a court before we can actually implement that process.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that we do on a daily basis, if you will, or just at the drop of a hat.
Mm-hmm.
It is a process that's designed to protect the rights of the subjects as well, but we have to show that we've exhausted other means, and this will give us the evidence that we need.
Now, when I've had opportunity to meet with you and have lunch with you when you first came to town, you did mention that you'd been to Knoxville once before to do a civil rights presentation and how that's been a passionate part of your career and your life. Let's touch on that for a little bit and talk about some of the civil rights issues that you talk about in your presentation.
Sure. Well, from the civil rights perspective, again, when you talk about discrimination in housing, one of the things about our federal civil rights statutes are they protect everyone, regardless of race, sex, sexual orientation, etc. Everyone is covered by our federal civil rights statutes, and they're designed to ensure that everyone has the opportunity, as it relates to housing, for example, to live where they choose to live and can afford to live without being harassed by anyone else. We take that very seriously. We take the issue of police misconduct very seriously.
I wonder, when the housing thing, does that relate to like a KKK type of situation or that kind of Burning Cross type of threat to try to drive somebody out of a neighborhood?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. It's all any right. attempt
to
use.
I'm trying to take the generic and put it into a specific example. Or so
that's a very good example where you have a minority family that moves into a community and that particular community does not want them there. And then they attempt to use force or the threatened use of force to make them move. That's a violation of our federal civil rights statute.
Absolutely. Okay. And then you were going on with the next beat of it.
The other part would be law enforcement misconduct.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly we see in the headlines almost on a daily basis where an officer may have used excessive force. Fortunate here in Knoxville, you have a very well-trained police department,
sure.
sheriff's department. And we within the law enforcement community know that you can only use that force that is justified to stop the action of the aggressor. That's it.
When 20 years ago, when Rodney King was
yes.
so severely beaten, and of course he just passed away last week, that really brought that issue to the forefront. And that was not a little rural hick town. We're talking, Los Angeles, California.
Yeah. And we see the results of what happened after that as well in terms of the riots, $1 billion in property damage, the deaths that occurred as a result of that. And so it's very important for those of us who have been allowed to carry the shield to represent it as well.
For someone with your level of experience, have things gotten any better in over the course of the past 25 years? Because I'm thinking 20 years ago was Rodney King, and things have gotten better from that, I would hope.
Well, I'm always very optimistic, and so I think things have improved, but we still have those isolated incidents that do occur.
Mm-hmm.
And where they occur and when they occur, we'll be there to investigate.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've talked about a lot of great issues today with Kenneth Moore, who's the new special agent in charge of the FBI. Any last comments on prescription pills or other issues facing our eastern Tennessee area?
No comments on the prescription pill issue, but I would like to say again to the Knoxville community, thank you for welcoming me into this community. The hospitality has just been incredible. I was born and raised in Georgia, so I'm used to Southern hospitality, but the people of Knoxville has taken it to a completely different level. And I really appreciate that.
Oh, we're happy you're here.
I'm enjoying it. This is a great assignment.
Now, okay, does this mean you stay here until you're done? Or how much more FBI time do you have?
Well, actually, I'm eligible to retire, but I have no plans on retiring anytime soon.
Yeah.
I still love what I'm doing, and I enjoy coming to the office every single day and working with the men and women of the Knoxville Division. In terms of my future here, that's not necessarily in my hands. That's in the hands of the director.
Mm-hmm.
Should he need me in another position, he could always assign me.
That's true. You do well here. You get promoted, right?
I do well here, and I stay here as well. How about that, Frank?
Well, either one is a good
Absolutely.
Answer for us.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, I've mentioned a couple of times that I've had the good fortune of going through the FBI Citizens Academy,
yes.
which is an outreach program of the FBI to educate
yes.
The community about the Bureau, which is really honestly what we're doing right now, too.
Yes.
I mean, the point of this program is to talk about what the Bureau does for the average citizen of East Tennessee. What is something that you want to say to John or Jane Doe right now? You need to call the FBI if, or you need to know that the FBI is here for you if.
Well, certainly our number one priority across the country is still terrorism. And so I want to remind the people here within the Knoxville community that terrorism is not something that's just isolated to Washington, D.C., New York, or a larger city. It can happen anywhere in the United States. And so we ask that they continue to remain very vigilant, report any suspicious activity to the local police department, or call the FBI directly. Because it is our responsibility, again, to protect this community and not allow that to happen.
And I guess some of the case studies that we had through the Citizens Academy, the suspicious activity was something as simple, maybe in another country, where somebody was buying a lot of the type of fertilizer that was used to blow up at Oklahoma City.
Correct.
And the clerk noticed it.
Right.
And he said, this could be nothing. This could be something. He called, and it turned out it was something.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important. Nobody knows the community better than the people who live in the community. They understand what is normal and what is not normal on a day-to-day basis in that community. When you see it, please give us a call.
Mm-hmm. It could be something as weird as somebody taking pictures of the underside of a bridge.
That's correct. And we've had those types of instances as well. And we've been able to, with the cooperation from our local, state, and federal partners, to prevent a lot of attacks from occurring post 9/11. And we're going to continue to be very aggressive in that area as well, while also protecting the civil rights of everyone.
That's the fine balance you have to walk. And I guess that's why it's cool that you're charged with both responsibilities.
And I take that very seriously as well.
And who watches the FBI?
Well, we're not immune from being watched.
Because
if
you will. You were the inspector.
Well, outside of the inspection division, we also have Congress and we also have the Inspector General's office that has oversight authority as well.
Terrific. All right. Well, our time has flown by with Kenneth Moore, who's the special agent in charge of the Knoxville Field Office of the FBI. Again, the website, if you're interested in looking at a career,
is www.fbijobs.gov.
And if someone needed to reach out and contact the field office, you can do that through the website as well.
That is correct.
Or the phone number?
544-0751.
Kenneth Moore, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. This is the East Tennessee Report, a public affairs program of the Journal Broadcast Group. My name is Frank Murphy. We'll talk to you again next Sunday.